Shall we pray? Christ, we proclaim the name above all other names. Father, we pray that as we come to your word this morning, we might see the Lord Jesus Christ. We might have our hearts stirred in the way that Paul's heart was stirred by his Lord and Savior. And we pray you'd help us to consecrate ourselves afresh to you and to your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I wonder how you would finish this sentence here. Oh, there it goes. There we go. Marvellous. The most important thing. The most important thing in my life is... ... What would you put there? Some famous people from the past. Lady Diana said this: family is the most important thing in the world. Princess Diana. And then someone very intelligent like Albert Einstein said this: the most important thing is to not stop questioning, that search for knowledge. What about this one here? Quite a surprising quote here from George Bernard Shaw. Money, he's very honest, isn't he? Money is the most important thing in the world. It represents health, strength, honor, generosity, and beauty as conspicuously as the want of it represents illness, weakness, disgrace, meanness, and ugliness. Well, what would you say the most important thing is in your life? What do you think about when you're not thinking about something? Where does your mind go? What are you most passionate about? What do you love to talk about? What do you love to do? And imagine if that was snatched away. As we read through this letter written by Paul to the Philippian church, we see so clearly what the answer to that question is for Paul. There is Paul, locked up in prison, chained to a Roman guard. And we say, Paul, there you are in chains because you're a Christian. What is the most important thing in your life that consumes you? Maybe if we were Paul, we'd think this: the great escape. How do I get out? How do I get out of here? It's a great movie, isn't it? It's a classic, that lovely moment where they fill up their trousers with mud and they walk around the playing field and they just drop it as they dig their way to freedom. Surely Paul's passion and longing is to escape. What does Paul say? I'm an apostle. Get me out of here. No, the most important thing in his life is there in verse 21. That's kind of a famous saying from Paul. Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He says his consuming passion is Jesus Christ. And maybe we can see why that would be. But then he says, to die is gain. That is a strange thing for us to grasp, isn't it? Why would dying ever be good? We spend our lives trying to stay alive, keeping safe, eating well. We want to live. The other day I got a letter from my doctor. I've reached that age now where they call you in for healthy men checks. There I was before this lovely, lovely nurse, and she checked everything. They weigh you, they check your lifestyle, your eating, your exercise, your cholesterol level. They put it all on a machine and it goes, and the lovely, smiley nurse as you leave the room gives you a percentage chance of dying from a stroke and a heart attack in the next 10 years. That had a big impact upon me. I didn't eat cakes for a whole day. Well, why would Paul ever say that dying was great gain? Was it to escape the chains? No. It meant that he would be with Jesus in heaven. That is why Jesus came, isn't it? To bring us into a relationship with God that starts now and goes on forever and gives us eternal hope beyond the grave, because life is so short, life is so fragile. He came to give us hope that we'll be with him forever beyond this life. That's why Paul says to die is gain. It is to be with Jesus. Death is not the end, is it? We know that Jesus died and rose again. And those who trust in Christ, they will die and rise to new life eternally. Can you see what Paul is trying to say in this verse? In life and in death, the most important thing is a personal relationship with Christ. For me to live is Christ, to know Christ, to love Christ, to serve Christ, to worship Christ, to honor Christ, to hear Christ. It's all about knowing and living and serving our glorious King Jesus. And to die, it gets even better. To die is gain. It is to be with Christ forever. And Paul is consumed with God the Son, Jesus Christ. Read through the passage when you get home. Just see how many times he mentions Jesus Christ. If I had a drum, we could read together. We could bang the drum every time he says it. Christ is throughout this whole book. It's like a stick of rock in Paul's life. Jesus Christ, knowing him, serving him, loving him. It's no surprise, is it, with Paul? Here's this extraordinary story. A massive change happened in his life. And if you're not yet a Christian, maybe you'll understand why this stuff that Paul says might seem weird to you. But actually, it's because Paul had his life changed dramatically by the risen Jesus Christ. He was a Jesus hater. He was trying to kill off the Christians, like the ISIS of his day. And the testimony of Paul is, as the most unlikely preacher of Christ, who hated Jesus, who terrorized the church, his story was that Jesus came in his mercy and grace and saved him. Don't ever think you're too bad for God. Christ saved Paul. Paul is passionate about Jesus. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. It is not weird. It is what we were created for. And Paul is thrilled with Jesus. And that's why through this whole letter, even though he's locked up in prison, he is like a bottle of pop that's been shaken up. Joy. Joy. He didn't like prison. He had everything taken away, his freedom. He'd lost so much, but he still had Jesus. Have we realized that the most precious relationship we could ever have is Jesus? Many of us will have experienced the heartache and the sorrow and the gut-wrenching awfulness of losing a loved one, a child, partner, or our mother, or our father, and that's terrible. But actually, we can lose all these things and our freedom. But actually, if we know Christ, we never lose Christ, and he holds on to us. And if we know that to be true today, how real is that in your experience right now? Are we prizing Jesus above everything? For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And in these verses, we catch a little glimpse of some of the reasons why knowing Jesus means Paul is joyful in the worst of circumstances. Why are you like that, Paul? We've seen a load already, haven't we? Already in the opening chapter of Philippians. So verse 3 and 4, he is joyful because it springs from his gospel partnership with his Christians. Verse 18, we see his joy springs from the fact that Christ is preached, whatever people's motives are. And as Paul rejoices, we say, look, what is the fuel, Paul, that makes you rejoice in Christ? What is that food, that spiritual food that keeps you going? Like petrol in a car that keeps you going. Have a look at verse 19. Take a look at it. Let's read it. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. What are the two things that Paul is conscious of in prison? Someone tell me, what's the first thing he's conscious of? Don't be shy, just shout it out. Their prayers, thank you. He knows the Philippians are praying for him. that sustains him. Isn't it great when people pray for us? Don't we just feel that? What's the second thing he says that sustains him? The Spirit of Jesus. What an amazing provision. When we're saved, the Spirit lives in us. The provision of the Spirit of Jesus. What a provision. You might get a lovely lunch from waitress and think that's a beautiful packed lunch. What a provision. Nothing. Not even Harrods competes with this provision. The Spirit of Jesus Christ in us. Glorious. The prayers of God's people, the Spirit of Jesus in his heart, is the fuel that feeds him and it gives him hope. Can you see that at the end of verse 19? It will turn out for my deliverance. That means that Paul knows that he will be delivered. It might mean being set free from prison, it might not. But his deliverance and rescue will come through death to life forever with Christ. Prayer and Jesus' Spirit gives him hope. The prayer of God's people sustains him. He feels it. The Spirit of Jesus in his heart gives him hope of deliverance or salvation. You know, when we were little, we'd go for long walks with my dad. He used to love a long walk. We hated it. And the way he'd keep us going at the end of a very long walk was he'd say, look, see that tree over there? We're nearly there. Keep going. And Paul is like this. The hope of his deliverance, fueled by the Spirit of Christ and by the prayers of God's people, means he is a man of hope, and that gives him joy. Great joy. The reason for joy, the hope gives joy. But then if you look at this passage, either side of verse 21, which is kind of the key verse in this passage, we see the same reason is given for why Paul is joyful. And it's kind of like a glory sandwich. Okay, you've got the filling in verse 21. The filling says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And the bread is on top, and the bread is below. And the food of the joy that comes to Paul when glory is given to Jesus. It's like a glory praise sandwich. Have a look with me. So verse 20, we see he is worried. He's worried that he doesn't want to be ashamed. He wants courage. Why? Look at the end of verse 20. So that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Exalt means praise and rejoice and to give glory to. I was in Winnie's class the other day, and they've got this amazing new thing they do. On the board, they've got a dark cloud, a white cloud, a sunshine, and a star. And your name can move all the way from the bottom to the top in one lesson. And when you get to the star, your name is glorified and exalted. And people say, well done, you've done so well. You've worked so hard. You're fantastic. And actually, Winnie's name was on the board the other day. So I said, Winnie, that's amazing. Well done, Winnie. Well, Paul wants Jesus to be exalted and praised and glorified. That's why he doesn't want to be ashamed. Paul says in Romans 1 verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. When we're ashamed, we are quiet. And we don't talk about Jesus or the gospel or its power. And Jesus is not lifted up to be praised. He's like he's down there on the dark cloud. No one knows about him. But actually, courage leads to Jesus' name being glorified and known, Paul says, verse 20. He wants to keep on having courage so that Christ is exalted and praised, whether I live or whether I die. His concern is that Christ is exalted. And what a week we've had. Paul says, I want to exalt Christ whether I live or die. We know, don't we, that life is fragile. We've seen that in Manchester. We've seen that in Egypt this week. Life is fragile. Have you ever stopped to think, what will they say at my funeral? Will your friends and your family know that Jesus is precious to you, that you've lived for him? Will he be lifted up and praised by your life at your funeral? I told you a few weeks ago about my granny, the chicken throttler, the missionary knitter, the passionate follower of Jesus now in glory with Christ. She said that when she died, we were not allowed to give a tribute to her at her funeral, but only to Jesus. Well, when she died, we did both. Because it's good to honor God's people. But we exalted Jesus, her Savior. And what will they say at yours? Amazing golfer. Nothing wrong with that. We like golf. Amazing gardener. Nothing wrong with that. Great thing. All fine. But will Jesus be exalted by your death? This person was a passionate follower of Christ. You see, for Paul, there's joy because in life and death, Paul wants Jesus to be exalted and to be praised and to be glorified. But then we get to the bottom of the praise sandwich, the verses below verse 21. And we see Paul is torn, isn't he? It's like a massive tug of war. Shall I stay or shall I go? Shall I keep living or shall I desire more to be with Christ in glory? Verse 23, I am torn between the two. Verse 22, if I go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. That's what he feels God is calling him to. Even though he wants to be with Christ, he knows he's called to encourage God's people to follow Christ. Look at verse 25. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I'll continue with all of you. That's God's church, the Philippians included, for your progress and joy in the faith. And what does that lead to when he stays around and encourages people to follow Christ? Verse 26, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. That little phrase at the bottom there, boasting in Christ Jesus. He says if he stays around, he can encourage the church to love and follow and trust Jesus. So Jesus is exalted and praised. And they can boast saying, do you know, we're learning more of Jesus and Jesus is wonderful. Have you heard about Jesus to their neighbors, their friends, their colleagues? His longing is to stay that the church might boast in Jesus Christ on account of his ministry. Can you see this little praise sandwich there? Christ exalted, verse 20. Verse 26, boasting in Christ. Surrounding this verse, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He feels utterly torn. Look at this picture there. The tug of war, his shirt, Surt's Holiday Club, and Mark dressed up as a chicken. He couldn't have been happier. They're pulling backwards and forwards. He feels this tussle, but he knows he is called to stay and to serve the Lord, that he might encourage God's people in their faith, and that they might boast all the more in Jesus Christ. You see, in this passage we see that hope of his deliverance and praise of Jesus through his life gives him great joy. You know, the danger of this passage, though, is this, that we think, wow, Paul, you're amazing. Locked up in prison, so concerned for others, rejoicing when I'd be utterly miserable. Paul, you're amazing. But that is to miss the point that Paul is making. The reason he is like this is because of the living spirit of Jesus in his life. It's because of Jesus. Not him. For me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. This verse is here this morning to encourage us and to inspire us to live this new day more for the glory of Jesus than yesterday. And while we're here on this earth, whether locked up in prison or at home, or at work with our families in our streets or in hospital, I want to encourage us to have this heart, this Christian desire that Jesus be exalted and praise through you right now, where you are. Exalted, followed, loved, boasted in, because Jesus is wonderful. And that will bring great joy and hope. Do you know, we can have everything taken away from us, and we will, won't we? One day, everything will be taken away from us. Even our faculties, our abilities. But actually, Christ is never taken from us. We are in his hands. He is in us by his Spirit. We are secure. In life and in death, we have Jesus. Oh, that he would be my great desire today, and my passion today, and my concern today. So what would you say honestly before God right now? The most important thing in my life is everything will not last, but Jesus is forever and always. Here is a challenging and inspiring word from the Lord for each of us this morning. Oh, that I might say in my heart, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Let's take a moment just to bring our prayers to the Lord.